Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Network Saturday, May 30th, 2015. This is episode 1191. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. You can see, hear, and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home, and I love it. Get $25 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/techguy. Oh, hi. How are you? Good to see you. Welcome. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk tech. High tech. Computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. Smartphones, smartwatches. You have to do, when you say smartwatches, you have to do the smartwatch salute, where you raise your fist into the air and you show your watch. And if you're wearing two, as I did for many weeks, you do both. And then you look like somebody's arresting you. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Call me. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, New Jersey. If you're outside those areas, well, use Skype and you can still reach us. 8888-ASK-LEO. I'm playing with my, as my friend Steve Gibson calls it, baguette. So we talked last week about these, the problem with keyless entry in cars. You know, the fobs that your car has and you get in the car and then you just press a button. The car, in the old days you would press a button on the key, right? To unlock the door. You don't even have to do that anymore. You just walk up to the car, you open the door, you get in. Therein lies the problem. And I kind of misdescribed this last week. There are two scenarios, but the one that's really the most scary for people who have cars like this, and that's most new cars, is you can go onto eBay and you buy this $17 amplifier and you go stand next to the car. This is where I got wrong last week. You go stand next to the car, and the car beacon is amplified to the point where if the key is nearby, like inside the house next, you know, the car's in the driveway inside the house, it will unlock the car. It'll say, oh, yeah, you're right here. Okay, get in, because that's how it works. So the way these keyless entry systems work is the car is sending out a signal, you know, searching. And when the key gets nearby, the car says, oh, that's him, and opens the door, and you get in and press the button. It's based on the proximity of the key. The problem is that this signal can be amplified easily by standing next to the car with a $17 device, and then you just get in. Whoops. And a number of people said, oh, well, wait a minute, my Mustang has rolling numbers. That doesn't help. That doesn't help because it's an instantaneous attack. It's got the number. It's getting it right now from the fob in the house or nearby or in the restaurant or wherever. So there are a couple of fixes to this. One would be, of course, for a car manufacturers to change the way their cars work. That's not going to happen today or tomorrow or this month or this year. It just takes a while. The other is to get a baguette, and that's what I've got here. That's what Steve calls it. It's a little bag that is... And this one's kind of nice. This is a fancy one, but you can get them for a few bucks on lots of places. And what it does is blocks radio signals. So this one comes from my friend Scott Jordan at Scott eVest. It's probably more expensive. It's got Velcro doohickeys and stuff. But the idea is you can put anything in here. You can put your phone in here too, right? If you don't want anybody to know where you are, and it would block, the phone would no longer work. It would block all the signal, but it would also block any geolocation. I think that was the idea when Scott created this. But now we know this is a great place to store your keys. So you come into work and you put your key in this bag. Now, you can't drive with it because the car needs to see the key. And I tried it today. I had my car key, my fobless entry or buttonless, what do they call it? Buttonless key fob. And I put it in here and I tried to get in my car and I couldn't. Oh, no. And then after I got in the car, I couldn't start it. Oh, no. That's what you want. So this is kind of a a nasty problem. If you've got a fob and you have that situation where you just push a button to start your car, the Prius is. My friend Nick Bilton, the New York Times writer, was the first to write about this. And frankly, I have to confess, Nick, and I apologize. I thought, oh, come on, Nick, really? Because he says, I looked out my window and I saw somebody getting into my car and then going down the street and getting into each car after it. I thought, what? He has a Prius. I thought, no, Nick, that can't happen. That can't happen. So this is the tin, as J-Spin says in our chat room, this is the tinfoil hat for the the keyless entry generation. But it works. Look for a little RF. What do they call it? It would just be, it's an impermanent, an invisibility shield for your key fob. And you can get them for a few bucks. But interesting, isn't it? 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. Talking about the week's tech stories, and then we're going to get to your questions and comments and thoughts and suggestions. 888-827-5536. Your Windows 10 PC, you ready for that? That's now we think coming out the end of next month. Well, it's almost June. The end of July. So we're a couple of months off. End of July, 2 months for Windows 10. There are people who are members, and anybody can do this. I don't recommend it unless you really know what you're doing, but you can join the Windows Insider program and play with Windows 10 right now. And Microsoft has been cranking out. Their new one just came out. You can tell they're getting closer and closer. And there's some interesting stuff that's going to come along with Windows 10. For one thing, and this is finally, I've always complained that Microsoft muddied the waters when they had Windows Phone, Windows RT, and Windows 8, because it all looked the same. Your phone looked, that was good. It all worked the same, your phone, your tablet, your computer. But you couldn't run the same programs. So it's all Windows 8. No, it's not. There's three different kinds of Windows 8, and never the twain shall meet. Well, that's going to change with Windows 10. People will be able to write applications that work on all three and throw in the Xbox as well. So Windows Phone 10, Xbox One, Windows 10 on the desktop, Windows 10 on tablets, no more RT. But that's good news. That means for developers especially, developers can write one program that'll run everywhere. It may be, we'll have to wait and see. It might be kind of odd because a program that works great and looks great on a phone may not look great on a desktop computer. You're not going to put Excel on the phone, that's for sure. And you're not going to really, an Instagram app on your, maybe it would work on your computer. I don't know. But we're getting ready for that. So my advice, people have asked, should I buy it? Is it time to stop buying new? Yeah, don't buy a new computer yet. If you're going to buy a new computer, I would. If you can wait 2 months, I would. There are some new things in Windows 10. For instance, Windows Hello is kind of cool. It requires a special camera. The camera can see your face and recognize you and say hello, and so it's a new way of signing on, but you need the new hardware, and that's why it might be worth waiting. Speaking of new hardware, Google had its developers conference this week. Holy cow, we'll be talking about that for the next couple of hours, I'm sure. They also showed an interesting new form of authentication that's really smart. It recognizes your voice, recognizes your face, but also recognizes how you hold your phone, how you type, the speed and way you type. And the phone registers all this to build up a profile of you that Google claims is incredibly accurate. And that way it'll really know if it's you holding the phone. I think that sounds like a good thing. Google's, bad guys have done this for a while. We called it a super cookie. Because people don't want to be tracked on the web, so they turn off cookies or they delete cookies. But the super cookie doesn't require your cooperation for the same reason. Because every browser, the versions of software you have on your system, how big your screen is, all that stuff, if you get enough data points, can be as unique as a fingerprint. A lot of things Google announced. They announced a new, basically smart clothing. The guy was wearing a jacket made out of it. Threads that go into your threads. And this is a matter of, we always thought this would happen, but how, instead of who needs glasses or a watch, your coat could be sentient. Maybe that's not the right word. That might be a little scary. They also announced the new Android, which will be out in just a few months. That's interesting. Android M. They didn't say what dessert it is. We're thinking Milky Way, maybe marshmallow, but I think Milky Way. Maybe they got to do a deal with the Mars folks. We'll talk more about some of the things Google announced, but let's get to the phones. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, your calls next. Project Jacquard. Milkshake says F and done. Leo Laporte, the rockin' tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. 888-827-5536. And today, Heather Hammond, the H-bomb has the day off. Kim Schaffer is in the studio. Hello, Kimmy.
Hey, how are you?
I asked permission.
You did.
Can I call you Kimmy? Hi, Kim. So you have been taking the calls. You've been lining them up. Did anybody call?
Yeah, and the questions are very interesting.
Detailed.
Today.
All right.
Yeah. So Mark from Tustin has an iPhone 5, and it works on some wireless networks, but not on others. Oh. And he wonders if you have any idea why that might be.
Mm. Well, he can't call Steve Jobs, so I guess I'm the next in line, aren't
exactly.
I? Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Mark Tustin, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Leo.
Hey.
By the way, do you post your vacation schedule so that we know when we come to the Brick House if you're going to be there?
No. What you need to do if you want to come visit the studio is email ahead of time that way and say, here's where I'd like to come. That way, not only will we put a chair out for you, because we have to do that, but you'll also find out if I'm around. So, but
right,
I am,
cool.
Just so you know, in fact, we're going to be, aren't we taping some phone calls after this end of this show? In a couple of hours, we'll keep the phones going for another hour so that I can line up some calls. Because I'm going to Europe June 28th through July 14th, I think. So don't come visit us then. Unless there's a lot of people here. It's not like we chained the door closed and say, we're closed. My favorite hamburger place when I was in college, Louis Lunch, they put up a sign that said, we're counting spoons, go away. Which was funny because they didn't have any spoons.
Cool.
All right.
Besides, who doesn't want to come and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned on a tech matter?
Oh, what have you done?
Well,
we actually have a priest here, you know.
I know. No,
we can't give you absolution.
I know. I watch Know How. I mean, I've watched a lot of the stuff on the network.
Father Robert is awesome. Well, I can't give you absolution in any spiritual way, but I can give you tech absolution. What can I do for you?
My wife got a phone from a friend, but it had a dog bite in it. That's why the woman got rid of it.
There was a dog bite in the phone?
Yes. Yeah, it's an iPhone 5S. The 2.4 gig doesn't work. The 5 gig network does
You're
work.
You're talking about Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Everything else on the phone works fine, but it'll see 2.4 gig networks, but when you try to put passwords in it, just most of the time, like 90% of the time, won't connect. And so I thought of going to iFixit, but I couldn't figure out what I needed to do there, you know, what I needed to replace. So I was hoping that you had an idea of what to do to get the 2.4. And I've already DFU'd it a couple of times.
That's the full reset where you rewrite everything. Hey, what
right.
You said a 5? 5S, did you say?
Yeah, it's a 5.
5.
It's a 5 from AT&T.
So I would go to iFixit.com and look at their teardown of the 5 to make sure that the radios are a separate module. Because if they are, you can take it apart and put a new module in. And in many cases with phones, I've seen them do this. You know, I blew up a 4S? I can't remember. I actually put in a glass of water on purpose, which was kind of dumb.
I remember that.
Yeah, and it fried it. And I brought it, so it stopped working. So I brought it to the independent repair guy, and this was the day when you could really take this thing apart. As the iPhone has gotten thinner and thinner, it's getting less and less repairable. But in those days, I think the 4S, he unscrewed it. You can literally, if you have the right screwdrivers, unscrewed it, and he took the pieces out and he replaced them one by one, and there were different pieces. So the question is the Wi-Fi radio? I don't. You know, this is odd because, of course, the Wi-Fi radio would be doing both. It might be the antenna was damaged. That's be more likely the case. The antenna was damaged, and so it doesn't handle some frequencies as well as others.
But it's weird because it sees the networks. It asks me for a passphrase.
That's very strange.
But then it won't lock in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's What does the dog bite look like?
It's just got three little tiny marks, but they're off screen. It's below, you know, to the right.
So the case is compromised by dog teeth.
Yeah, on the front, the glass.
They didn't break. They didn't go through, did they?
No. Huh. No, it's in fact, if I gave you the phone and I didn't tell you about it, you might not even notice.
Okay.
It because it's not on the glass part. I mean, it's not on the glass part where the screen is.
Yeah. That's the first one I've ever heard of, dog bit phone. And I'm not sure exactly
I guess I should try on my router.
Well, and then I would try some external things. She hasn't tried it anywhere but home?
We have the phone now. She got a 6. So I've tried it at a couple different places. On every place, 5 gigahertz works fine, 2.4 doesn't.
So weird. Well, look. So do watch the iFixit video. Now, this is the teardown. You know, they do this when the phone comes out. They actually take it apart. And what they do is they show you all the different modules. And what you're going to see, I would say, is can you replace the antenna? I bet you can't. You need to replace the case because it's probably integral to the case. Or if maybe that's not the problem, can you replace the Wi-Fi radio? Usually the Wi-Fi, all the radios are a single chip. And it may be that it's soldered onto the circuit board, in which case that's not going to be something you want to repair yourself, but maybe you can actually pull it off. I was amazed by how modular this old 4 was, that the guys, when I took it there, that's bad. Of course, by the time they replaced every part and it didn't work. And then they looked inside and they saw the SIMS card was actually scorched. The water from putting the phone in the glass, the water had short circuited everything. And to the point where the SIM chip itself was scorched, like it had been burned. And at that point, he said, yeah, I don't think we're getting this one back. So,
by the way,
yeah.
Thank you very much. I was listening 2 weeks ago to the This Week in Tech, and you guys had mentioned how the Apple phone, the Apple TV messed up Apple networks. And I have a customer who went from all PC to all Mac, and it's just been a nightmare. Just one thing after another. iCloud doesn't work for them. All kinds of stuff, and it's just driving me nuts.
Yes.
Trying to keep support with it. And when I heard that the Apple TV was messing things up, I went over there, unplugged it, and his network's been much more stable since.
So this is you're welcome, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'll mention it again because people are probably saying, what is he talking about? Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And let me know what happens. But iFixit, you're right. You got the place to go. If there is a replacement part, they will sell it. So this is a very weird thing. And Apple finally has acknowledged that we can't get this fixed. There's a network discovery. They call it a daemon, a program that runs in the background on Macintosh. It's called Discovery D. That is bad, bad, bad. It's had problems for a long time. They've fixed it every time they do an update, practically, on OS X. This is for your desktop Macs. They fix it, and it's still a problem. I think it's better now. And that, by the way, Apple has decided to eliminate Discovery D. The next version of Yosemite won't have it. It'll have a different tool, probably different problems. We'll see. But they basically, tacitly acknowledge this isn't going to get any better. The fix is to go around, unplug everything, your all your AirPorts, if you have AirPorts, and your Apple TVs, and then plug your routers in. You'll notice it if you have dropping Wi-Fi. It's just weird connectivity problems. My Apple TVs are currently unplugged. And everything's working great. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's Debug asks a good question. Was the 2.4 gigahertz working before the dog bite? But that's only important if you want to ascertain blame. If you want to assign blame. That darn dog. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Normally, that strange music would signal the arrival of Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru. Scott has the weekend off. He'll be back next week talking home theater with us. You can find his work at the AVS Forum, avsforum.com. Meanwhile, that just means more time for you and your calls. Going to Mel in Pennsylvania. Hi, Mel.
Hello.
How are you?
Leo. Okay. I have two mysterious things going on with my computer. Maybe you can help me. Maybe not. Maybe this is not the right place to look. But anyway,
friend, this is always the right place to look. I may not have an answer for you, but I can point you in directions. We got this great chat room. We got a million listeners. Somebody's going to know.
That's what I'm looking for. My situation is on my emails. I've done this many times before. I'll delete a group of emails, and let's say I'm deleting 4 or 5 of them, and then when I get to number 5, it just suddenly brings up that email full screen. And then when I take it back to the regular screen, the other emails I've highlighted are not highlighted anymore, and I can't delete them, of course. But also, I have similar trouble with when I play a game online called Scrabble.
Yeah.
The word game Scrabble.
Yeah, love that game. Yeah.
Right. I click let's say I'm going to form a word like water, W-A-T-E-R.
Yeah.
The computer will take the W-A-T as if I submitted that as the word, and then I can't submit the full word because there's a glitch there. And I don't know if what I've said will shed any light on it for you, but that's what it is.
Tell me a little bit about, are you using a desktop computer, a laptop? Is there a touch screen?
Desktop.
Desktop, not touch.
Right.
And you're using a mouse, traditional mouse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, because it almost feels like there's some stray clicks coming in, right? Like you're selecting all that, and then the clicks, you can't click anymore. When you have the Scrabble screen on the board.
Yeah.
And so tell me how that works. You click to start typing the word?
Yeah, that's right. So
you type W, and you type A, and you type T, but then it won't let you type anymore?
Right. It takes that as the word in full, and it transferred over.
So it's like it's as if you click the submit button.
Let's see. The way it works is if you're going to click a word, they're trying to
when you finish the word, how do you submit it?
You just click the last letter again, and then it submits over.
All right. So you're having sounds like kind of some stray clicks are coming. A couple of things you could try. One is if you had another mouse lying around, I'd try that. Is it a wireless mouse or a wired mouse?
It's wired. Could it possibly be a need to change the battery?
Could be. Yeah. Well, if it's wired, you don't need a battery. You do have a wire, right? Connecting to the computer.
Oh, okay. The mouse itself is not wired.
It
no.
floats in the air like the magician could go there, put a hula hoop around it and say, look, no wires. That means you need a battery probably, yeah. Yeah, I would certainly look at that anyway. It also could be the mouse itself is malfunctioning, which is actually what it sounds like to me. You know, a wired mouse is cheap. And like literally like $5. I would just go out and get a wired mouse and see if that cures the problem. It'd be the first thing I'd guess. There could be other software issues, but this is the easy. I always start with the easiest, cheapest thing to do.
Yeah.
And work my way up, because if you solve it with that, then you're happy. If not, well, you've eliminated some causes, but you have to dig deeper. You know, at the end of the line on this one is it could be a bad USB port on the motherboard. That's not fixable without a new computer. Could be Windows needs to be reinstalled. There's a lot of things it could be, but let's start by replacing the mouse.
I see.
And maybe the keyboard, too, because I bet you the keyboard, if their keyboard is sending stray strokes or sometimes keys get stuck, that could give you weird effects as well. So when you go out and get the mouse, get a cheap keyboard, too. Just to see if they're your backup. You might, you know what, first thing to do, change the battery, because I bet you have a battery to hand and you can just fix that. But if it's not the battery, if it's not the mouse just dying on you, then I would say get a new wired mouse and keyboard. Go down to Fry's or I want to say Radio Shack. You know, somewhere, I don't know what your nearest computer store is. Maybe there's one nearby. And you can get them cheap. Otherwise, you can go online and get them very inexpensively at Amazon. You'll have it in a couple of days. I suspect that's the issue. I go back and forth on. I love wireless because, you know, no wires. But you do get all sorts of stray issues. For a while, I was using a wireless keyboard at home. And this one was solar. Logitech makes one that's solar powered. You don't even need to change the batteries. It's got little solar panels on the top. And it works. I guess there's enough light in the room to make that work. But just little weird glitches kind of have discouraged me. I like wires. Good luck, Mel. Tella in Manhattan Beach, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Tella.
Yeah, hi. Hello.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there.
Hello.
What can I do for you, Tella?
You can solve a mystery for me.
All right.
On our telephone and our home telephone,
yeah.
If the number is in our directory, we get caller ID along with music.
Yeah.
If they're not on our directory, we just get caller ID along with the ringing.
Right.
Where does the ringing come from? It comes from the telephone provider, Time Warner. It does not come from Panasonic, who makes our telephone. It does not come from Brother, who makes the 4-in-1, which has access to our telephone.
I think it's the Panasonic.
They deny it.
They deny it. Why? Is it a weird ring?
Well, it plays music. It's a regular ring.
Yeah. So here's what's happening is. I don't. Panasonic denies it. Maybe it isn't. But I had a phone that did this. If mm-hmm. Does your Panasonic have memory and storage for phone numbers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So when we want to call out, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling.
And if it recognizes that number,
yes, it plays music.
It's saying, "Oh, this is somebody you know."
Yes.
Otherwise, it plays a generic ring.
Right.
And I would even look in the Panasonic, look in the setup for callers, and see if you could change the ding-a-ling-a-ling. For different callers, you can't.
I can't. I can only make it. I can only make it two short rings for certain people.
Oh, okay.
That's all I can do.
Well, okay. Thing is, the ring is part of the hardware, right? It's the phone that's ringing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't make. I mean, the phone company can't say to the phone, "Hey, use ring number 72." It doesn't, you know, because every phone has different capabilities. Mm-hmm. What the Brother is a wireless headset you use? Is that it?
No, the Brother is just a 4-in-1.
Printer. Well, it's not coming out of your printer, is it?
It uses the same telephone number.
Yeah, yeah, for faxing.
They're not doing it.
But it's not. The sound is coming out of the phone, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's the phone.
Yeah, it is the phone.
Of course, it's the phone.
And I get a different ring from my plumber than I do from my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know how to control the ring, and I call Panasonic, and they say, "No, it's not us."
I think it is them.
I do, too.
The problem is, you know, you say, these people who are on the calls, they have notebooks in front of them. They don't know everything about the product. They're not, like, really a product expert.
No.
They're people they hired, you know, high school students they hired to read from a notebook. So it's not in the notebook. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure. Now, here's where the internet can help you. If you Google the Panasonic phone and the actual product number, you know, and you could probably find manuals that will explain all of that.
Yeah, well, my manual does not, but I can't think
of where else it could come from.
I can't either. That's why I called.
That's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
What's the
mm-hmm.
just? Do you know the model of the phone off the top of your head?
No. It's,
yeah.
Because
I could put the chat room to work. They're like Super Google.
Oh.
They go and they say they could find anything. Yeah, that's what I would suggest. I think if you go online and you could even Google Panasonic phone, the model number, ring tones, and see. Somebody will have solved this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I guess I should have asked if the song it's playing is really a song, like, you know, or if it's just like ding, 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 ding. You know what I'm saying? Because the phone company could, like, modulate the rings, but it would just be shorter, longer, same note. Because the phone company doesn't know what kind of phone you have, and it can't do anything that is specific to that phone. So if it's an actual song, it's coming from the phone. The phone company is not sending Stars and Stripes Forever down the line to your phone. I think it's got to be the Panasonic. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, that's the phone number. The more I think about it, the more convinced I am that the only thing possibly playing songs, it's got to be the phone. Oh, who else would be able to do that? A chat room suggested some phone companies offer distinctive rings, but that's like two short and one long. That's not da-da-da-da. Jack on the line from Plymouth, New Hampshire. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Leo.
Hey, Jack.
I'm starting a Kickstarter page where I'm selling my drone videos.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah, I thought so. And I can't find a program that can actually render 1080p, 60 frame a second videos. So I don't know if you knew of any programs that could do that.
So 1080p obviously is easy. It's the 60 frames, which I think is great. Because the normal frame rate is 30 frames of television. It's actually 60 fields, 30 frames for progressive or interlaced. Progressive scan 60p just for motion is great. And in fact, we're going to see more and more of high frame rate video, not just 60 frames a second, but 120 frames a second and more. So you're trying to edit this video so you can put it on your on YouTube or wherever?
Yeah.
And you say, what editor are you using?
Well, that's the thing. I have enough money to buy whatever I need.
Yeah, but what are you using?
I don't have anything yet.
Oh, I see. That's a good question, but I think most editors should handle 60 frames.
Well, I've been looking on like Premiere stuff and stuff, and what else? Sony Vegas.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to find if they actually definitively do render 1080 at 60 frames per second. So, yeah, I just
I'd be shocked if they didn't. Premiere especially, because that's what is used by so many pros. I would start with Premiere Elements, not the full-blown Premiere.
Okay.
So because YouTube handles it, that seems like everybody would support it. And if they don't, then do an update. James in our chat room says Corel Video Studio Pro will. I'm not a fan of Corel Video Studio Pro, but it will. On the other hand, if it will, well, of course Vegas will. Of course Premiere will. These are higher-end products. I think really the issue is you want to make sure you're editing it in 60p. I think you can output 60p without a problem. I think it's editing it that way because you don't want to edit. But you know what? Everyone will. It's got to. That's not. Sony Vegas definitely does 60 frames a second. Liam Kennedy says in our chat room. There is a trial version of Adobe Premiere Elements. Why don't you download it and see? That would be my choice if I had a choice of editors. And if, as you say, you have plenty of money because Kickstarter is just really kicking in, then get the Creative Cloud version of Premiere. That's what we use here in-house for editing. And it's definitely the power tool. What's your Kickstarter? Because I know you want to plug.
It's not up yet.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure that
you
I
called
could do it.
Just to ask a question, not to plug your Kickstarter?
Yeah, crazy.
I love you, man. So, wow, that never happens. So, what kind of drone do you use?
I'm going to get the DJI Phantom 3, and if the Kickstarter is successful enough, then I might get the Inspire 1.
Yeah, those are nice. And what are you going to take? The drones are the quadcopters, folks, that you fly via remote control, and many of them have cameras on them. What are you going to take pictures of that people are going to want to pay you to take pictures of on Kickstarter?
New England, and that was kind of the idea of the whole thing. Just go anywhere in New England, and it is a really beautiful spot.
I grew up in Rhode Island. I would pay to see drone videos of New England. And the beauty part of drone videos is it's like helicopter shots. They're smooth, they're steady, they're beautiful, and you can go anywhere. And we're seeing incredible quadcopter video footage. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, be careful, because you know the FAA that regulates flight in this country is attempting to put some rules on the commercial use of drones, and that would be considered a commercial use.
Yeah, and I've been working on getting a petition, and you have to do one of those if you're going to start a business and stuff, which is also what I plan on doing,
like
a website where you can sell all those videos.
Right.
And so you have to make a petition, but I'm working on that.
Good. Too, good so. For you.
It's pretty cool.
This is great. What a great project. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, and then call back and plug your Kickstarter when you have something to plug. That's awesome.
All right.
I think this is so cool. I have a I used it a few times. I haven't used it much. Parrot Bebop, which is the drone for lazy people, for people who don't know how to really fly drones because they're hard to fly. It's a little confusing, these quadcopters. But the Parrot AR, which created the first drones controlled from iPhones, has always been all about, you know, kind of making them easy to use. The Bebop, which is about $500, just kind of flies itself. You push a button, it goes up in the air. And it's pretty straightforward. At least that's what my friend, Father Robert Ballister, we call him the Quad Father. He's a drone guru, and he says, "Oh yeah, you can't crash that thing." So what did I do? First thing, crashed it twice, right into the side of the hill. So now it's $500. I'm really reluctant. The first drone I ever flew, he said, "Get the cheap one the first time." I said, "Okay." Bought the SEMA, SYMA, for $40. First time I flew, charged the battery up. I'm really excited. Charged the battery up, put it inside, and everything's well. This one doesn't have a camera. It's just for practicing. Press the button. Goes, starts to take off. Oh, this is exciting. Goes very smoothly. Goes up. I say, okay, now turn left. Keeps going. Turn right. Keeps going. Come down. Keeps going. It's like a balloon. It's like a helium balloon. Goes straight up, and I disappeared. I have no idea where it went. For all I know, it's on Mars by now. So I'm a little burned, frankly, by the drone thing. I need drone help. Let's see, who do I have here? Leslie.
Hi, Leah.
Laguna Beach. Hi, Leslie.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love you to pieces. You're like English or computer immersion for me because I don't understand much about tech stuff, but when I listen to you, I start to recognize words and concepts, and I appreciate that.
That's really nice. Thank you. That's kind of my goal. That's kind of my life goal. To make this stuff accessible.
Yeah, I'm clueless, but then it's like, oh, okay, that makes a little sense.
Boy, that makes me happy to hear you say thank you. What can I do now to repay you?
Oh, I'm on the air. I didn't realize that. I thought we were on
what?
The air because I was listening
no,
to
yeah, I just said hello. No, yeah, we're on the millions of people heard you pledge your love for me. I hope you understand that.
Yeah, I was honest. Okay, I'll get to the point. I have problems with group text, and sometimes, not always. And I have one particular group of friends. I can send them a group text.
Yeah.
They all respond. They all get the response, but I don't.
Oh, man. Let me ask you a question. Are you on an iPhone?
I have a Galaxy S6.
That's the problem.
They all have iPhones. iMessaging or
yeah. You're green. They're blue. This is the problem.
Well, how can I get my good messages from my kids who have iPhones?
This drives me crazy because it's Apple.
Fight between the two of them?
Yeah, Apple has this messages program, which they use for texting to everybody, but it works a little better if you're texting to an iPhone and group messaging, for instance, that would be a perfect example. You sent them a group message, but they know you're not on an iPhone and they're all on iPhones. In fact, I think there was a Saturday Night Live bit about this.
Oh, really?
It's yes.
I got off of the G messaging thing and onto their old style messaging.
That doesn't help because you don't have an iPhone. That's the problem.
What's the solution? What is this got to be?
Hang on and we'll find a solution when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I love that. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte is here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones. I talked with Leslie a little bit off the air to kind of walk her through this. It's very frustrating, I understand. More frustrating for those of us who are not in the Apple ecosystem. People who have iPhones and Macintoshes and iPads love this because it all kind of works together and you can message each other, and they're all living in this beautiful world of blue text bubbles. I can't remember. Is it blue if you're all iPhone? It's blue, and it's green if you're somebody else. It was a big step backwards, and I'm extremely angry with you, Apple, for doing this. Remember, in the early days, one of the reasons text messaging didn't take over so quickly in the United States is because if you were on Verizon, you couldn't SMS, that's the original text messaging, you couldn't SMS somebody on AT&T. The two systems didn't interoperate. Maybe 15 years ago, we fixed that, and that's when text messaging took off in the U.S. The same thing happened with email. Same thing happened, remember, with instant messaging. When you had, we call them in the business, we call them silos, closed systems, then people could only talk to other people in the silo. But what you really want to do is have open systems that everybody can talk to everybody else. And in fact, that's when these things take off. That's when email took off. In the early days of email, if you had MCI mail, which I did, you could only talk to people, you could only email people who had MCI mail. Genie to Genie, CompuServe to CompuServe. But once universal internet email began, email took off. Same thing happened with instant messaging. Same thing happened with SMS, text messaging. And then Apple went backwards. Now, the problem is this is good for Apple and good for people who live only in the Apple world, but it's bad for everybody else. Apple's messages can sort of talk to regular SMS texting. There is a gateway, but it doesn't work well. It colors the messages differently, so you are kind of segregated. And things like group messaging, special features that are unique to Apple's messaging, Apple folks just use them. Oh, yeah, well, I can send you a voice message, you know, an audio message, or because a text, a picture, because it works. But what they forget is it only works inside the Apple universe. One solution, of course, would be to use a third-party application. That's why WhatsApp was worth so much money to Facebook when it bought it, because this application was used by millions around the rest of the world where SMS hadn't taken off yet. Or it was too expensive mostly to use SMS. And so WhatsApp can work on an iPhone, an Android phone, a Windows phone, any kind of on a desktop. And so you can message everybody. But you have to get everybody to use that. And the problem is if you're using an Apple device, you already have messages and it works wonderfully. As long as you're only talking to people on Apple computers and Apple phones and Apple tablets. Then it works great. So one solution, the good news is Leslie did have some Apple devices. She had an iPad and an Apple desktop. That's probably why this was happening. She had a messages set up. It wasn't on her phone, but she had it on her iPad. I told her, go look and see if those group messages you're not getting are showing up in your iPad. I bet they are. Because Apple's saying, well, wait a minute. She has an Apple device. We'll just send it there. But that's the problem is, you have to have an Apple device. I think it's a step backwards. I think it's really a shame because that's not the promise of computing. The promise of computing is open, transparent, easy communication. Not, well, I can only talk to people in my group. That's what we used to have. Of course, it's good for Apple, right? Because then you're more likely to buy an iPhone. In fact, that single problem alone is probably enough to get people like Leslie to just say, oh, the heck with it. I'm not going to buy an Android device. I'll just buy an iPhone because all my friends are using iPhone. I'm bloody-minded. My wife, my kids, everybody I know uses iPhones, but I'm bloody-minded. I like my Android phones. I'm sticking with Android. I don't care if I'm a greenie. 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go. You know, the phone system, how would it be if the phone system worked that you could only call people on AT&T with your AT&T phone? You couldn't call Verizon people. It wouldn't work, right? It'd be terrible. We need open and standards. We need interoperability, they call it. It's all technical stuff. And real people don't know about it or care about it. And I don't blame you. But we geeks obsess about it. Paul's on the line from Michigan. Hi, Paul. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Paul?
Hello?
Oh, it's delayed, isn't it? That's exactly what you're calling about. Hi, Paul.
Hey.
What's up?
I didn't expect to come tonight. But
I know. I was gassing on. You didn't think I'd ever talk to you. Yeah, here I am.
I'm going on a trip in October, and I've noticed I spent $200 on these Bluetooth headphones. Way too much. But on my iPad, my iPhone, there's a delay, and I don't know how to figure that out.
So you use them for, there's a delay for phone calls, you mean?
No, for watching your shows or
so you're watching Netflix. You're watching video in there and the lip sync is bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's not an uncommon thing with video because audio is so much easier to decompress and play back, and much harder to do video. So video often lags behind the audio, and we're very sensitive to this. A few milliseconds of delay between audio and video is enough to disconcert people. In the early days of satellite television, this was a big problem. It was just a few milliseconds. It was a few thousands of a second. It wasn't a big deal, really. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount, but it was a big deal because it was like, what? Something's wrong. So when you just watch the video on your tablet without headphones, without the Bluetooth, it works fine?
Yes. Yes, everything's fine. I'm thinking maybe just get a pair of headphones that plug in.
Wired headphones. Yeah, wired, that would fix it. What are you used to playing stuff back? Because it's probably more of an issue of what you're using to play it back.
I've tried Netflix. I've tried all your Twitch shows.
Interesting. So anything that you play back.
On my iPad. So iPad Air 2. The newest one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, it may not also be decompression. It may be the fact that the Bluetooth is just because it's radio. It's a little bit of slower. Anybody in the chat room have this experience? I don't use Bluetooth headphones, although more and more people are going to. I mean, this has become the thing. The new Beats Solos are Bluetooth.
Well, I use them at the gym all the time with Pandora. Everything's great, you know, because there's no video.
Right.
But sometimes I go on the stair stepper, the treadmill. Just
wireless is great, isn't it?
Watch something. Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Watch something and it's like, I'm watching you.
Right.
And it's like, why is it talking?
Yeah.
It's way delayed. It's weird.
That's an interesting. I think it might be, and I haven't tried it enough with Bluetooth to know, but it might be a problem that just happens with Bluetooth because of the way the Bluetooth encoding has to work and get the audio out to you, that it's just a little bit, maybe a little slower. Do you notice, can you tell if the audio is behind or ahead of the video? Can you tell? I think there's...
The audio, the video is ahead of the audio.
Okay, so that, okay. That's what I wanted to hear. That means that's
Bluetooth. And the Bluetooth.
Yep. That's the Bluetooth latency. Exactly. And I think that that's the nature of Bluetooth. I'll look into it and see if we can find some better way to do it. But I think it's the nature of Bluetooth audio. And, you know, Bluetooth, most people didn't use Bluetooth for a long time. People didn't use wireless speakers. You know, they'd put the earbuds in and you wouldn't see it with earbuds. But as more and more people are using Bluetooth, I think this may actually be an issue. What we'd want to find is something that had a Bluetooth headset that had low latency. Which ones are you using, just out of curiosity?
Oh, the Beats.
You're using this? Are you using the Solos?
The Beats Wireless.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to check into it. Maybe that's there's no fix because it's Bluetooth latency. I'll check into it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo, that's the number. I feel like a spy. They're bringing back Man from U.N.C.L.E. No, wait, let's do a test here. Kim Schaffer, have you ever heard of the Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I have not.
No, of course not. That's why I was surprised they were bringing it back. This is a show I watched as a kid. I'm 58, so this is a show that was, and when I was a kid, I would always play Napoleon Solo. You probably never heard of him either. He was the star, Robert Vaughn, star of Man from U.N.C.L.E. And then there was his blonde-haired Russian sidekick, Ilya Kuryakin. This was very formative for me. I was probably 8 or 9. That's how it's a 50-year-old show. But they're making a movie out of it. I wonder how people are going to react.
All right, let's all go see the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie. I remember that from my youth.
That's the problem, waiting too long.
Right.
To make a redo.
They should have done this 20 years ago. You know, now it's SpongeBob. They're going to make SpongeBob from U.N.C.L.E. I even remember what U.N.C.L.E. stands for, the United Network Command for Law Enforcement. And who was their enemy? It wasn't Smursh, that was Bond. It wasn't Chaos, that was Get Smart. I've forgotten some of it. 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the phone number. Back to the phones we go. And Garrett in Manhattan Beach. Hi, Garrett. Leo Laporte.
Hi, Leo. This is Garrett's mom. He's a little shy.
Oh, that's fine.
But you say something. No, I want you to say something.
Okay. he's so excited.
Oh, hi, Garrett. How you doing?
Good. He's a little under the weather.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what can I do for you and Garrett?
Okay. So he has an iPad that it's I think it's a iPad 2, so it's, you know, like a couple years old.
Yeah.
And in the house, he tries to connect to the Wi-Fi. And we do have routers, and we do have those, I don't know, it looks like a spaceship our IT guy put in our house, all over the house.
With antennas sticking out of it.
Yeah. And there is, he can sometimes pick up the signal. He sometimes can't. He has to go into offices where one of them are at. And so he'll go in there, and he can get the signal. But then when he comes back to his room, it drops.
Yeah. So this is a problem with Wi-Fi kind of in general, is that it's, you know, it's radio. And just like you can lose a radio signal by getting too far away from the radio station, you lose a Wi-Fi signal. The distance is a lot less, though. Wi-Fi is nominally about 100, 150 feet. But if there's if you have an older house, for instance, and there's metal in the walls, it doesn't go through walls well, especially if there's metal in it, things like that. Now, it sounds like your other stuff works fine.
It does, yeah. Well, yeah. Like my phone already has a Wi-Fi built into it. His iPad, that was the problem. His iPad doesn't have it, so he has to be able to connect in order to get...
Other way around. Your phone has 3G, 4G.
Right.
So even if you lost Wi-Fi, you might not even notice. You'd only see the little icon disappear because the phone would continue to have data through its network. But that's what you need to do. And so the IT guys came out and installed this. They're kind of... And it sounds like maybe you had problems before, and that's why you had them come out?
Exactly. We had one it was only in our office. So he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put it in your office, and we're going to put it downstairs. So we have one downstairs.
Right. He put in extenders.
Yes, and, exactly. That's what he did. That's what they are. They're extenders. Exactly.
Yeah, and that should help. And when your son's, when Garrett's next to an extender, it all works, right?
Right.
It's only when he gets distant enough, and it doesn't have to be very distant. Partly it's because it's an older iPad.
Okay.
And so it's only on 2.4 gigahertz. There are now more modern Wi-Fi has two frequencies, 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz. Because 2.4 gigahertz was so widely used, it's often saturated. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you what you can do that actually is kind of a fun thing to do. But let me explain before I tell you what to do about this.
Okay.
So if it's saturated, and this is the case in my house, too, we have a lot of other things on that frequency. So modern routers, including I'm sure the ones you have, give you the choice. They have a 5G and a 2.4G. But his iPad can't use the 5G.
I see.
So he's probably stuck on a congested frequency. Now, there's a way to find that out, and that's with software that will, on Windows, it's called Insider, two S's. On Macintosh, there are a number. And most phones can also, what kind of phone do you have?
I have an Android.
Good. There's really a good choice on Android, and I think it's free. I use it all the time, called Wi-Fi Analyzer. And what you'll do is you'll run this program, and it gives you a number of different charts that will show you what frequencies are occupied. It'll show you what kind of saturation there is. You can, and what you want to do is move around with it and see how it changes. And you'll see what the issue is very quickly. Probably the network guy who came in to install your Wi-Fi used something very much like this.
Okay, and do you think maybe the issue is that he has it set on 5G? Because, of course, it runs faster, but my son's iPad just can't...
It doesn't do 5G. He has an iPad 2, you said, right?
Pardon me?
Does he have an iPad 2?
Yes.
The older one?
Right.
Yeah, that, I think, doesn't do 5G.
Right. So do you think that could be the problem?
It could be. I don't want you to run out and get a new iPad just because of that. So it might be worth seeing if you have real congestion. One way to know is when you drop down to choose your Wi-Fi, do you have a bunch of other access points around?
I don't know.
Yeah. Next time, look. I'm looking at the Wi-Fi analyzer here, and I can count. It looks like a dozen or more Wi-Fi access points. And, of course, that's pretty typical now, especially on 2.4 gigahertz, because that's been around for a while. And as a result, you really see the congestion, and it makes it difficult, especially for an older device, to work. So this download Wi-Fi Analyzer on your Android device.
Okay, and then look at it and see.
You'll see pretty quickly that there's congestion. You'll see what's going on, and that doesn't solve it. There are, you know, you could get the IT guys back out, and they could put in more extenders. That would be one solution. You could get Garrett. Is he still listening?
No, he ran into the other room.
Good. You could get him a newer iPad if you don't tell him.
I know. That I was the other option.
I didn't want to get you in trouble.
The other thing they said, when I went down to the Apple store, they said I could turn in this one and get like
upgrade.
A credit and then get a new one. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that, that's an option.
Yeah, it's not a big credit.
Oh, yeah. I know. I think it was like $100.
Yeah. Well, that's better than nothing. And if you got them an iPad Air 2, the latest version, I think it would work better. They're telling me that the iPad 2 might, in fact, do 5G. He's able to select the 5G network?
I think he is, because that I would assume that's the only one we have.
No, you have to have both.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah. Well, they can. Now, I shouldn't say have to. You could turn off 2.4, but nobody ever does. Say again?
What if he just, when he has the option, what if he just chooses the 2.4?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are ways to do it. Try it. And you'll see the analyzer will go sit in the corner where he's sitting, and you'll see what the problem is immediately.
Okay.
You'll see the signal go.
Right.
And it may even be happening to you. You just have 4G, so you don't notice.
Right.
Okay. The Wi-Fi on the iPad 2 is 802.11 A, B, G, and N. But that, so it doesn't do the latest, but I'm not sure if it does 5 or 2.4 yet. 2.4 is the older one. Everything does 2.4. That's why you don't turn it off. But he could also be signing into the neighbor's Wi-Fi because it's stronger. There's all sorts of issues around that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Okay, you can use an iPad 2, they're saying, on 5G. It's what we call dual band. But it doesn't mean his airport is choosing the right thing. With this congestion, it might be, you know, he goes into a part of the house that's near the neighbor's. And this is iPads are notorious for this. Go, oh, ooh, I like this one. And we'll take the neighbor's Wi-Fi and may not get any connectivity from it, but it will suddenly be taking it. So it just takes a little detective work looking at what's going on. Little Electric Light Orchestra there to bring in Johnny Jet. Our travel guru, Johnny, shows us how to use our computers, our technology to travel better. And he travels better. Actually, you traveled back in time, didn't you, Johnny Jet?
I sure did.
Tell me about this. I want to do this. You were on a Pullman car?
Pullman rail journey. So I went from Chicago to New Orleans. They also offer Chicago to Denver, which is brand new. And they do it,
all year round. These are the old-fashioned railroad cars.
But they book far in advance. So I was hearing people
saying,
well, but it's not complete luxury. I mean, you know, we were in twin beds, and
well, it's a train, Johnny.
I know, but I'm, you know, they kind of sold it as real luxury.
Well, it's luxury for a train, but come on, the click a clack.
I've been on some other trains. I've been in the Eastern Oriental Express.
Oh yeah, I want to do that.
And
I want to do that for sure. Does it go clickety clackety clickety clack and like you kind of?
For sure. My wife did not get one minute.
No, that puts you to sleep.
Not well. Half the people on the train did not. There were 16 passengers.
Oh,
half of them did not sleep.
Like top.
I slept about 3 hours.
Oh.
The secret is put your earplugs in.
No, see, I like that.
Some people
like
did.
That.
There were some real big train buffs, and they loved it.
It helps me sleep.
Yeah,
I never slept
but
so well as on a train.
It's rocking. The tracks aren't that smooth.
Nah, you know? That might be. It was when I was a younger person, and it may be that they. I noticed that they don't go as fast as they used to either. They're a little more careful.
No. Actually, we're going 80 miles an hour. I logged on to Glimpse. So Glimpse was telling me exactly how fast we're going.
That's cool. 80 miles an hour. Wow. So. All right. Pullman Rail Journeys. It's travelpullman.com.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought of you, actually.
I love trains. We old guys kind of remember those days. I took a train when I was maybe 15 from we took this California Zephyr from Chicago to Oakland as we were moving to California, and I loved it. Oh, I'll never forget it.
Wow. But you moved from Rhode Island, didn't you?
Well, we had to fly to Chicago. No, the trains don't go all the way, I guess, or something. I don't remember.
Tell me about it another time.
it's a long story. So what do you got for us today, John?
All right, so I got a travel website and an app. So this website is called Honey Fund. So the name actually caught me. Someone was talking about it, and then I read an article somewhere.
What is I don't know this. Okay.
So this is for people who are getting married and instead of having someone give a gift that, you know, they don't really care about, they can sign up and have their guests give them money towards a honeymoon.
Now that's great. What a good idea.
And it actually was on Shark Tank. So people were talking about it. That's where I read this article on Shark Tank, and this was their number one, one of their best companies.
Honey Fund. So you you go on this, you register like any wedding registry, and you say, if you want to give us a wedding gift, you could give it to the Honey Fund.
Exactly. And actually, I found it really fascinating. I wish I read this before I got married, but some of the stuff it was saying is, you know, you never put your registry on your wedding invitation, which we did not.
Yeah.
But so what you do is you say you set up a wedding website, and they'll help you do that as well.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. So you can direct people on the invitation, say, here, check out the website.
You're not allowed on the invitation to say our wedding registry is here. That's bad
according
form.
According to their...
It's bad form.
You know, their etiquette.
Okay.
But I love it. You could also put the money towards a home fund. And what I liked most about it was that they don't charge a fee to you know.
Well, how does
unless you're paying by a credit card?
Well, I don't think
that's not like PayPal where they take 3% or 4%. So they're not charging a fee for that.
I don't think Mark Cuban would have put money into this if there weren't some way of making money. How do they make money?
I think they're doing it other ways. I think actually one way is to sign up and create a website.
Got it.
So they'll host your website.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable.
But that's why I was recommending it because it's not like PayPal. You know, you'd think, I'm just going to give the money through the PayPal. And then you're they take almost 4%, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So the only time you're going to get charged is if you use your credit card. But anyway, it's perfect for people. And I know a lot of people are setting up stuff right now. So that's that one.
Honeymoon is so fun. And so many people don't get to do honeymoon. They do one day. We get a lot of honeymooners here, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say, gosh, I'm sorry. You couldn't afford better. But no, they come here to the wine because we're in the California wine country. So they go to the wine country. There. And then if one of the members of the couple is a geek, you know, he or she says, and, you know, while we're in the wine country, would you mind if we spent an afternoon in Petaluma and visiting Leo? And then
that's awesome.
Then the spouse goes, well, okay. And then realizes, I married a geek.
What a compliment to you, man.
It's good to know. That's a lot of honeymooners. Yeah.
Yes.
What's your app?
All right. So I got an app called Twicer. Have you heard of Twicer?
No. You're good at this. I don't know how you do this.
T-W-I-C-E-R.
Twicer. It's nicer.
So according to it's only available on iOS for iPhone 4 or higher. And what it does is... let you record video over a video that you've already created. And so, you know, everyone these days when they're traveling, they're trying to create videos for their friends, sending messages back. So this will allow you to do an overlay and, you know, import existing videos. It's pretty cool. It's free.
This might be – so I'm looking for some solution because, you know, as you know, in a month we're going to Europe for 3 weeks.
Yes.
We're going to take a river cruise. And I want to have some solution for like a travel blog diary where I can post pictures, video, commentary, maps.
That's exactly what this is.
This looks like it would be good.
That's actually part of the stuff they talk about in their description.
All right. Twicer.
But it's only for iPhone, iOS.
Hate people who do that. You know, Android's bigger than iPhone, guys.
It says you record a commentary on new or existing videos to tell a better story.
I like that. So that's what I need because I'll do a video of something, but it's like, it's a little windy. But I could go back to the cabin.
And take that off.
And say, and here we were walking the Great Wall of China.
That is a great example.
Twicer. It's on the App Store. It's from Quarter, K-W-A-R-T-E-R, Incorporated. And it's free.
Yeah, and I think they just launched it at the Cannes Film Festival.
So you basically can create a narration over existing video, which is what you really want to do.
Exactly.
Because it's hard to do great video and do a great narration. I like that. It's a blue app.
I should do that for my train trip that I just did, although I didn't take a lot of video.
Well, that's the other thing. I guess you could take the video, get home, and do it.
Exactly.
It's be like boring people with your slideshow. You could just. And then Natalie and I went to the top of the volcano. Do people do that anymore? Where you get back from a trip and you say, "Come over, neighbors. We'll show slideshow and movies."
Well, that's the beauty of Facebook.
You don't have to do this anymore.
Like that, because you can see right. the you can
people
see
can
the
pretend
pictures.
They saw the pictures.
In the old days, you'd be trapped for hours.
Right, just thumbs up and move on.
Yeah. although now with the iPhone, you know, the phones, people are just sitting there going, "Look, check out our photos."
I know.
Photos.
That's the worst. Don't do that.
I'm just like, go like this. Just go fast.
Yeah. Don't do that. This happens a lot to me. Come here, and you got to hunch over. Look at the iPhone, and then see we got two kitties. I don't want to do that. You'll find Johnny Jett at johnnyjett.com. That's his website. Do go there and sign up for his free travel newsletter. Lots of great travel deals, even when he's traveling. You're in New Orleans. What are you doing in New Orleans?
I'm in New Orleans. It's pouring rain out now.
I love New Orleans though, but it's a tropical rain.
But there's some really good deals, by the way. I just sent a newsletter. There's, you know, Brazil is just so cheap. From L.A., it's $567 round trip. From Boston, $581 round
trip. JohnnyJett.com. Get that newsletter. Don't forget to follow him on the Twitter, at Johnny Jett, or on Instagram. He's Johnny Jett. And I love following you on Instagram because you see all sorts of fun travel pictures. It's really great. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Have a great, safe trip. Enjoy New Orleans.
Thank you.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls to come. Right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. Dave in Chicago's next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Leo, how you doing today?
I'm great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, question for you. My wife's business computer at her office, she started it up the other day, and she said she got a blue screen, but did have the toolbar down at the bottom. Then she restarted it, and this time it just went to a blue screen, nothing else. So I brought in a different monitor to see if it was the monitor.
It's not the monitor. Wait a minute. Are you saying it's a blue screen with no text on it?
Right, nothing.
It's not the blue screen of death. It's just a blue screen. Okay.
Right.
So that's reasonable. Say maybe it's the monitor. Yeah. All right.
So, but I brought in another monitor, hooked it up. That didn't do anything.
It was blue, too.
Yeah. So I took out the hard drive and hooked it up to another computer. All the files are there. So I was able to take those off and so she could use it for her laptop.
Good.
But I didn't, I don't know how to tell if the Windows portion is bad on the hard drive or whatever, or could it be the video?
It could be a lot of things. So what I always do, this is a troubleshooting question.
Yeah.
And what I always do is start with the easy things first. You kind of did. You said, well, maybe it's the monitor. Did you try a different monitor cable?
No, I didn't try that.
I would try. We're looking at the simplest things, the cheapest things. So check that. Make sure the monitor cable's all right. All right. Now, if that's okay, if you're still getting blue with a new monitor, a new cable, then it's could be the video card has gone. Goodbye. And it's hard to test for that. It may not be Windows. It may not be the hard drive. It could be hardware. It could be the driver. And it could be Windows. So, yeah. One way to test that, this is something everybody should make, is a bootable disk. Could be a USB key. Depends on what your computer can boot from. Almost all computers now can boot from the CD drive if they have one. If you don't have a CD.
I think we did that when we bought the computer. I think I made one.
Good. So, it's best if you can get a full operating system. Linux, for instance, makes live CDs that you could actually run the computer from the CD. It's good to make one of these because then if it's the hard drive or if it's the software on the hard drive, booting to a completely separate operating system on a disk and seeing if it works will tell you a lot. Right. You can use that disk you made. I would boot to that and see if the screen's still blue. If it is, then it isn't the software. It's not the hard drive. It's the video card or the monitor cable, right?
Yeah, right. So the video card, I don't think it has a video card. It's probably built into the motherboard.
Yeah, it's still a video card. It's just not something you can pull out.
Right.
So
putting a new standalone video card in there,
if that's what we're wrong, yes.
Right. Okay.
But first thing to do is take those discs. I'm so glad you made those discs. So many people don't. So take that, it's called a recovery disc. Take that recovery disc, and it's a bootable disc. Put it in and boot to it.
How do I boot to it if nothing comes up on the screen? How do you do that?
Most computers are set, if there's something in the CD to do that. If and by the way, this would be another way to do it, is to go into the BIOS settings. So different computer. Is it blue from like the minute you turn it on?
Yep, yep. But, you know, it's black when the screen's not activated, and then you turn it on. And
you never see. So when you turn on the computer, you never see any text saying booting or anything like that?
Exactly. No.
All right. Then that confirms it's not Windows. It's not the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's not even looking at the hard drive at that point. The first thing it does is it loads firmware in the basic input-output system, or BIOS. Mm-hmm. And if it's blue even then, not the hard drive, as you can see, the hard drive's fine. It's not Windows even, not the driver. It's the video card or a monitor cable. Check that first. Let's cross our fingers for you.
But yeah, should I check the RAM? Just kind of take the RAM in and out and put it back in?
I wouldn't yet. If you never see text on that screen. It just goes blue the minute you turn it on. It's not RAM. Do you hear any beeps coming out of it?
No.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not even getting to the power on self test. So it might be really that something serious, like the motherboard's dead.
Yeah,
or
right.
Or the BIOS supply? Is dead. Huh?
Yeah. Power supply possibly?
Could possibly be, yeah. Did you hear the fans spin up?
Yeah, it does start up and everything's, you know, I can hear the hard drive spinning.
Okay. That means probably you're getting power from the power supply. Yeah. It's probably okay. It sounds like the motherboard failed on you, or the BIOS failed on you. Maybe it got clobbered. Because you're never seeing any text. You're never seeing any BIOS text. And, you know, if RAM is, like, let's say you took all the memory out of your computer, you would get beeps when you turn on the computer. The computer would say, well, like, I can't function without memory, but at least I can beep. And it would give you a series of beeps. We call these the post codes, or power on self test codes. But you're not even getting beeps.
No.
That means to me that either the BIOS got fried, which is possible if you had a power surge or something, or the motherboard died.
Yeah, when I took it apart, they do painting and stuff, and it's in their office. And when I took it apart to take out the hard drive, I mean, it was very, very dusty.
Oh, there you go. Clean that out.
I cleaned it out, but that could have been, it could have overheated, like you said.
And exactly. I think that the motherboard, that's the main logic board for the computer, the circuit board, big old thing, that is damaged, because otherwise you'd get postcodes. You'd get something.
Okay.
So now we know it's not the monitor, not the cable, not Windows, not the hard drive.
If I'm not getting any beeps at all, then it's something deeper.
Yeah. Like, it's not even loading the power on self test. That means the whole thing is, it's not starting up at all.
Yeah, I'll just confirm that there was no beeps, but I was pretty sure there was nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Sorry.
Thanks,
yeah, the boot disk won't help, because you're not getting to that point. The computer is a box of rocks. I mean, really. And you apply power to it, and the first thing that happens, the computer kind of goes, and it loads in. A computer can't do anything without program, right? So it needs its first program. That first program is not on the hard drive. It is load. It's in a non-volatile storage area of memory, called the BIOS chip. Nowadays, modern computers is something. It's another spot, but it's UEFI instead of BIOS. But it's the same idea. It's got firmware, and it loads that first. Now, it's very primitive. It's BIOS, basic input-output system. It's the simplest thing possible. This is why we call it bootstrapping. It's pulling it up by its own bootstraps. So it does the simplest. It loads in this firmware that gives it enough intelligence now to check memory, to do what they call the power on self test, and then eventually to hand it off to the hard drive. And the hard drive has a little bit of memory called the master boot record. That program loads, and it says, now I want you, here's where Windows is. And then the computer loads Windows, and it's successively smarter through this process. You're not even getting to stage one. Your computer is still a box of rocks. Basically, there's no program, and that could be a lot of things, but it's serious. Let's put it that way. We're going to take a break. Tech Guy Show continues after news at the top of the hour. And a quick reminder that at the end of the show, in 1 hour, the show does not end. I will continue to take calls for another hour, because we're recording ahead for a vacation next month. So this is a chance. If you have a hard time getting in, it'll be a lot easier to get in 1 hour from now at 8888 Ask Leo. Kim Schaffer's going to stick around. I'm going to stick around. We're going to continue to answer your calls. So please give us a ring. 8888 Ask Leo. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte is here.
That's me.
The tech guy, time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones, smartwatches, and all that jazz. I just got the, just came out in the United States, the new LG G4 phone. And this was, I was very curious about this. Right now, in Android, it's an iPhone, we don't have to talk about it. It's an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus. Big or little, your choice. That's it. So, take it as written. iPhone, great phone. Love it. Nothing wrong with it. Apple Watch, very nice. We don't have to say anything. There's not that many choices. In the Android space, there's lots of choices, so I have to buy a lot of different phones and, you know, a lot of different Android watches. Right now, I'm using the LG Watch. It's called the G-Watch Urbane. It's not that urbane. It's kind of looks kind of, I don't know, trashy, flashy kind of. But I love Android Wear watches because they really work well for what a smartwatch needs to do, which is kind of give you information at a glance. They do the sport band stuff, too. They track your heart rate and your steps, and you can track exercise. You can map a ride as well. You can make a map of your bike ride or your run or your walk. Yeah, most smartwatches do roughly the same thing. The differences are small. For instance, the Apple Watch, you can answer and talk on a phone call with. It turns out, I've done it. It's not something you're going to do a lot, but you can do it. You can't do that yet with the Android Wear watches. For instance, this watch, the LG Urbane, I can place a call, but then I have to get my phone out to talk. You can do, in both cases, you can talk to the watch and have it send texts and stuff like that. They have voice recognition. But in almost every case, you have to have a phone nearby to do the actual work. So I'm currently a big fan, and I think I've said this before, the Galaxy S6. I have the S6 Edge. Really like it. Best screen I've ever seen. I mean, not even close. Fabulous camera. I would, you know, personally, it's a matter of choice, but I think it's better than the iPhone 6 camera. I think it's the best camera I've ever used. But that's a little bit subjective. That's kind of what you like the looks of. So, but I was curious about this LG G4. LG has done very nice phones for a long time. They're kind of quirky in some ways. The power button and the volume controls are in the back. This G4 has a leather back, which is kind of wild. But one of the reasons I was interested in it has a feature that I wish the Galaxy S6 had. You can pry the back off and access the battery, which means you can buy an extra battery or two or three. And that's a big problem these days with smartphones. There's not enough battery life to get through the full day. The S6 only gets me about 10 hours. That means at dinner time, if I'm going to go out at night, I need to charge it again. And if I'm traveling, it's a big problem. I have to actually bring a portable battery with me in my carry-on to keep the phone going all day. I've just got the G4, but it looks, just from the day I've had it, the battery life is about the same as the S6. I think it's going to be about 10 hours. But that's a big difference because you can pop the battery out. You can buy another one of them, get a little charger and pre-charge it, and you could carry two or three batteries. That means you can carry 30 hours worth of juice. All you have to do is take the back off, put a new battery in. Also, unlike the Galaxy S6, it has an SD card slot. So storage is kind of unlimited. It's close to unlimited. You could put a 128 gig micro SD card in there and have plenty of space for your music, your movies. The camera will take pictures to the SD card, save them to the SD card. And speaking of cameras, it's a pretty amazing camera. One of the reasons I like the S6, as I mentioned, is I thought it was a fabulous camera. I haven't finished testing the G4 yet, but I would say it's as good, if maybe even not a little bit better. It has a very fast f1.8 lens, and if you're a photographer, you know that that's an unusually fast lens for a camera phone. What does that mean? Well, it means it'll take pictures in darker conditions than anybody else. It also is very nice, 16 megapixel, very high quality. And LG touts something called laser focusing. It actually has a little laser beam, invisible. It's obviously out of the visible spectrum, that it uses to focus, and it focuses very quickly. It's probably the fastest phone out there, made even faster by this kind of cool little feature. You double-click the down arrow button, and it will launch the camera, unlock the phone, launch the camera, and take a picture all within a few seconds. So if you know you've got something you really want to take a picture of, you just double-tap that button, and it goes, chick, and takes a picture of it. I like it. I have to say I'm a little disappointed in one respect. The screen is not as good as the S6. It's a LCD screen. So there are really two very common screen technologies in phones now, OLED, O-L-E-D, and LCD. I guess it's the same for TVs, isn't it? The LCD screen TVs are perhaps not as contrasty or as rich in color as the OLEDs. Maybe they're more accurate, but I just feel like the LCD screens, as on the iPhone and as on this LG, just don't pop. They don't grab my eye in the same way that the fabulous OLED screen does on the Galaxy S6. It's also a little dimmer, and I think LG, you can turn it up, but LG's automatic light sensor makes it a little dimmer to probably give it a little bit, trying to give it a little bit more battery life. It's certainly worth looking at if you're ready for a new phone. It might be time to take a look. I would absolutely recommend taking a look at both the G4 and the S6. But I have to say, I'm kind of a fan of the S6. I was really excited. I was really hoping for something maybe I could get excited about with the LG G4. And I love the camera. Camera's important, isn't it? I'm curious. You could tell me. 8888 Ask Leo. What are you looking for when you look for a smartphone? I mean, some people actually still look for a telephone. Not many. Some people actually make phone calls. Some people, they want a bigger screen or a smaller screen. They're looking for a screen quality. But I bet you most people, more than half now, it's how good is the camera. This is the camera we use most of the time, not just for selfies, but as we travel, as we walk around. This is the phone is your camera. And the cameras in the Galaxy S6, the LG G4, and yes, the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, are really good. They're almost as good now as a point-and-shoot. I would say in some ways better than a point-and-shoot because you can do more with it, and your camera's always connected to the Internet, so you can share it to friends and family. And as I said, one of the goals I have on our trip is to be able to do a travel log as I go with my smartphone. And so the camera quality and the video quality in the camera is going to be very important. If you want to know more about the show or you want to make a comment or a question, the website is techguylabs.com. We don't make you sign up. It's free. It's open to all. Every show, every hour, audio and video after the show, they're all posted there. We also, James had a little dental emergency. Hope your teeth are okay, James. But normally James writes down everything I say from the minute we start the show to the minute we end the show and puts it up there right away at techguylabs.com. But it's divided up into day, hour, show, hour, and question. So you can go right to the question and the answer you're looking for. That's tech, and that's all you need to write down. TechGuyLabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. Heather Hammond has the day off. Kim Schaffer answering the phones. And she is prepping you. I got a minute before we go to break, but I think I can start a call here with Elon in Northridge, California. Hi, Elon. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Leo?
I am great.
Good, good. I got a simple question for you. I am looking for a TV for the family room, flat screen, and I thought, rather than going and doing all the research, I'd ask the pro. So
that's the way to go. Yeah, that we do the research so you don't have to.
There you go. I'm looking for something with size, so preferably 75 inches or larger. I don't think that I need, like, the 4K or anything like that, because most of the TV that's watched is by my daughters, and it's MTV and all those stupid
shows. Exactly right.
But I am a fan of Samsung, and I like the smart TV, so I know I want a smart TV. What would you recommend and with that info?
Well, you set me up. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, I am going to recommend some TVs. I have some more questions for you, too, but let's talk some big screen TVs when we return. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And that's Jason, who's taking pictures in here, just so you know. If you see somebody wandering, there he is. I see somebody wandering around. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. As I mentioned, techdiglabs.com. We were talking before the break about getting a new TV. Alan is shopping. You want big, which is nice. I think one of the first things I tell people when they say, I want a new TV, is get it as big as you possibly can. 70 inches is good.
Right.
Because, first of all, people have memories of, a 32-inch set, that was giant in the old days. When it was a tube, it was.
But, yeah, and currently we have that the Mitsubishi, it's a flat projector.
The Diamond Vision, yeah.
It's huge. So
you're used to big.
Yeah, used to big, size matters.
You know what you're going to be blown away with, and maybe you already do know, is the brightness and the crispness of an image compared to a projection screen is amazing on a direct view screen. So Samsung is a good choice. I wouldn't hesitate to look at the high-end Vizios. Vizio's always been a kind of second-tier manufacturer, but they've really pushed performance versus price. So they're still very affordable. For instance, when we gave a TV for graduation, college graduation this year, and we always give Vizios because the price performance is excellent. In my guest room, I have a Vizio. You know, the best TVs, frankly, are not from Vizio. They're, maybe not. I don't know. They're pretty competitive. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, says he's more and more impressed, especially with the P series, which is their performance line. You won't want to get that because that's the 4K. Every TV has smart TV now, although I like Vizio's smart TV a little bit better. Samsung's is a little funky. LG's is a little funky. Although I think, is it LG that bought WebOS? I think they're going to improve this considerably going forward. So you've looked at the Samsung?
Yeah, I've looked at the Samsung, and I actually didn't know the Vizio was getting up, into the 65-inch arena. But I guess they are nowadays.
Everybody is, you know.
Yeah, pretty price competitive as well. So, you know, I just want the best bang for the buck. The largest that I can get for the best quality. And like I said, I don't know that I necessarily. You know, my ego wants to go. Okay, get the Curve, get the four. This.
No, the Curve is the Curve's silly. I have a curved OLED Samsung. Curve does nothing. So nothing, here's a Vizio P series, which is their top of the line, 70 inches, list price $2,300. That means you're going to get that for less. You go to, a store. And right. The 70-inch M series, which is their more affordable series, $1,599.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you would say they're comparable to the Samsung and maybe even the Sonys and some of the name brand guys?
Yeah, and I actually like the smart TV features better in the Vizio.
Huh, okay.
Smart TV. See, I have mixed feelings about having smart TV in a TV. Because I use, most of the time you want to use a Roku or an Apple TV, Android TV, an external box, because those are updated faster than the TV. And also, TV manufacturers' business is TV, not software. And so often the software is less than ideal. The remotes are very complicated. So even though every TV I have is a smart TV, because you can't not get a smart TV, I often wish I could just, they'll never do this. I wish they would just make a monitor. Just like, give me a screen, and I will handle everything else.
Right. But they just seem very, very convenient. I have one, a Samsung, I think it's like a 55-inch or something like that, outside next to the pool, and it's just so convenient.
Well, then you don't need a box, right?
Pull down and all that kind of stuff. And
I think I would go to a store and look. The problem is it's hard to, in the store, hard to tell how good the picture is because they turn on a store mode. It's very bright. You're going to get an external sound system, I hope?
Yep. Yes. Okay.
So that you don't have to worry about what the sounds sound like. Yeah.
No.
I would not hesitate to look at the P series Vizios. Those are as good as anything. Samsung makes excellent ones. LG makes excellent ones. Sony makes excellent ones. There's not much to distinguish between them. I should ask Scott Wilkinson, and I will next week when he's on, what his current favorite is. But you could go to CNET has a review roundup every year in which they pick the best TV. What's surprising everybody these days is the quality you're seeing in Vizio.
Right.
Because they were the kind of the big box store and all of that. Let me look at what the Wirecutter says. Wirecutter is great because what they do is they say, look, we know there's a lot of good ones. We just pick one. This is the one.
Wirecutter.com. They say the best TV is the Sony X900B, but they recommend the small TV and the $500 TV. In both cases, they recommend Vizio. I am not familiar with this Sony. It's Ultra HD, and I think you hit it and nailed it. This would be the wrong time to buy an Ultra HD. The standard is set, and the new UHD standard TVs won't be out till this fall. But look at this. The Sony, the best, they say the best TV out there. It's only a 55-inch, so let me go to the 79-inch. Ooh. And see what that costs. $6,000 for 79. 65 inches is $3,595. That's not bad. Not bad for for an Ultra HD, what they say is the best TV out there. It's an LED backlit. That's what you're going to get, is LED backlit LCD probably. Amazon has that M70, 70-inch Vizio for $2,198. So for $1,000 more to get the... get the Sony.
Yeah, and I think I kind of know the answer, but assuming that we go with this Vizio P, you know, what I'm going to watch on that TV is the Lakers, and is that is the technology good as far as fast-paced basketball games?
Yeah, so you raise a really interesting question, because so LCDs traditionally are a little slower than your CRT, your old TV was, or plasmas, and so motion looks a little blurry. Lakers are going to look a little blurry. So what they do, and I, you know, some there's differing opinions on this, but they increase the frame rate. Now remember, the channel's not sending more frames; they double frames to do that. It's called interpolation. They look between two frames and they invent a third in the middle that is a mixture of the first and the third. And what the upshot of that is, motion looks crisper and better, but it looks more like it's called a soap opera effect. It looks more plasticky or soap opera-y than film-y. I always turn that off.
Oh, okay.
However, if I were watching a lot of sports, it might be worth turning it on. You don't care if the sports look. The thing is, you're not getting that data. So anything that it does to increase the frame rate is done in software. So it's up to you. There's certainly any TV you buy, including the Vizios and the Sony that we just mentioned and the Samsungs, will have this capability. They have different names for it, but basically if you see 120 hertz or 240 hertz, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, if I can get the time away from my daughters to watch the Lakers, I usually put my foot down during playoffs, and we haven't had playoffs in a long time. So I will probably have a little more time to watch.
I think it looks great. I think from what you've got now, you're going to be very happy. The color is so much more vibrant, and the screen is so much brighter because it's direct view than a projector. There's been big strides, and I think you're going to be very, very happy. I would add Vizio to your list. I think anything you got, we have Samsungs throughout the house, and I love them. But we have Vizio in the guest room because I'm cheap.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the help.
Thanks for the call.
A lot of time to do the research.
Have fun, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You know, I changed my doorbell the other day. First of all, it's very easy to put a new doorbell in. It's only two wires. Or if you have battery, it's not even that complicated. So some people have wired doorbells. Some people have battery-driven doorbells. But I got a great new doorbell that I think you're going to really, really like. It's called Ring. And it's more than a doorbell. It's a camera. It's a security camera. It does ring nicely. But notice this camera. It's got a very wide-angle camera that gives you a great view of what's going on outside. You can see visitors, even if you're at work. You've seen me do this, right? I talk to the visitors, say, hey, what do you want? Which is great just by itself for security. You can't let them in. It's not tied to the lock, but you can talk to them. If it's a UPS guy, you can say, "Yeah, just leave it out front there. I'm in my jammies," and it's great. But this is so cool. It also has motion detection, so you could turn it on so that when anybody's in near your front door, it'll record it and upload it to the cloud. It's connected to your Wi-Fi, or notify you when you're at work. What's great, and it works with iOS or Android, what's great is they do offer cloud recording. I just love this. It's called Ring. $25 off because you're watching the Tech Guy podcast. That means $174. That is a great deal at ring.com/tech guy. I love getting, the cleaners come when we're not home. But I know exactly when they arrive because they ring the doorbell. Then they have a key, so they go in. But I can see them go in. I can verify that that's them. I get notifications on my phone even while I'm at work. If you have the battery one, it lasts a whole year. And if it's connected to the wired, which was ours is, and it's just two wires, very, very easy. It goes forever. It talks to our Wi-Fi access point. It was very easy to set it up. It just takes a few minutes. Time magazine called it one of the top 10 gadgets last year, and I agree. I think this is so cool. Ring.com/tech guy. By the way, set this up at mom's house, and you can monitor mom's front door, right? You just log on to her her doorbell. I just love this. You know, most home break-ins happen during the day. Having this video, if nothing else, is great because they ring the doorbell first. You know, right? Anybody home? Let's see. Here's the deal. Ring.com/tech guy. $25 off for Tech Guy viewers. Ring.com/tech guy. Oh, yeah. Somebody's asking. Yes, it does trigger the rear doorbell. So if you have a wired doorbell, which I do, it rings my doorbell inside the house just like normal. Absolutely. This is exactly like the doorbell we had, except it has a wide-angle camera and a lot more features. And it's Wi-Fi. It works just like the doorbell. And even if I'm in the house, I love it that I could talk to the guy and say, I'll be right there. Hold on. Or see who it is. And if it's, Joey the neighbor, I just can ignore them. Turn off the lights. It's Joey again. He always wants to come in and watch the basketball game. It's Joey. Lumpy says he got the Tech Guy discount already. Good job, Lumpy. Ring.com. Was it hard to set up? It's easy, isn't it? It's pair it, to put it on your phone. I love it. Ring.com/tech guy. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Your calls are our priority. Please hang on the line. Tyler, Thousand Oaks. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So I have a question about cable cards. I've been using a cable card for the past 3 years to record and watch TV with my computer because it's a lot cheaper than renting a cable box.
Right. You still have to rent the cable card. So they get you, but it's cheaper.
Right.
Yeah. And it's better. Right. I use it in my TiVo, and it's fabulous because the TiVo now is the cable box. It's now the set-top box.
Right.
Yeah.
But I've been using it with Windows Media Center because that's the only choice with PCs. But I know Microsoft recently said they're cutting support for Windows 10. So I was wondering, is there any kind of alternative coming besides, dual boot or something like
Microsoft
that?
Microsoft has really annoyed some of its hardest core users. But I got to tell you, they have not been working on Windows Media Center since 2009. It has not been updated in 6 years.
It's pretty clunky.
It's great. It was a great lean-back experience. It was so cool. It came with Windows. What a great idea. So a lot of people have turned to Kodi, K-O-D-I. That's the old XBMC, or Plex, P-L-E-X. These are programs, just like Windows Media Center, that you can run on your Windows machine. They run also on other devices. The issue really is the capture card, because that's what your cable card's going in.
And protected content, so...
Right. Without the cable card, you can't see. Even your locals now are scrambled.
Right.
Which is frustrating, but so you got to have a cable card, but you have one. So really, it's not a question so much of the software. It's a question of the hardware. And I guess, what are you using, a Hapag card? What are you using?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hapag.
So you have the Hapag. The Hapag has a slot. The cable card, we should tell people, it's actually really cool. The FCC made cable companies do this. They didn't want to. And in fact, still some cable companies are so reluctant, they don't tell you about it. They don't say, would you like a cable card? No. You have to kind of find, there's a dusty one in the back room maybe. So I actually went to the Comcast. Yeah, I went to the Comcast store. I said, I'd like a cable card. And they said, fine, yeah, no problem. I don't know why. It's easy in the store. But they're about the size of a credit card, like a thick credit card. I think they're actually one of those old PCMCIA cards. basically. So there's some software in there. And what it is it's a cable box and a card that all it really does is tell the cable company, goes back down the line and says, yeah, he's okay. He's one of us. He paid, and it knows what you paid for and all that. In fact, I got to tell you, my cable card in my TiVo does a better job than Comcast's own X1. The X1 does not know I pay for HBO for some reason, and I've called them and called them and called them, and they've never fixed it. My cable card knows, so when I want to record HBO, I do it in the den. If you have hardware that's already working with a cable card, you probably are set. Almost, I'm sure Kodi and Plex work just fine with any of the Hapag products. That's the product.
Well, the research I've done is that, you know, if you have certain networks, you're just not going to get with that Windows Media.
Oh, the DRM stuff. DRM stuff, yeah. So that's an interesting question. Dexter in our chat room says, Team Media Portal. For Windows, Team-Media Portal. Yeah, Microsoft made a deal to support DRM.
Right.
And that is something that some people will lose. I am sure that one of the reasons Microsoft discontinued Windows Media Center in Windows 10 is because they want you to buy an Xbox One. They see that as a media. Yeah, they see that as a media solution. So they haven't done it yet, but at some point they're going to offer some sort of capture solution.
Because you can't, rumor so far.
Yeah, you can't watch live TV unless you're in Europe, apparently, on an Xbox One. But I think in the States, they'll offer some sort of solution with it that works with a cable card. And at that point, right. I would expect it to work just fine with even copy-protected stuff.
Right. Well, you can watch TV, but you just can't record it right now. That's the issue.
You can watch, but you can't record.
Right.
Isn't that great? And Kodi and Plex don't record. They're really designed for you to BitTorrent stuff and watch it that way.
Right.
I'm looking to the chat room for help on this one because I've been the TiVo does great. I'm very happy with that. And I kind of make sense that Microsoft would kind of want to get out of this business, right? I don't know if Team Media Portal supports. I'm going to have to go to their website, Team-Media Portal. And see if it supports recording copy-protected content. That's the kind of thing that you got to go as a company to the creators of this content and make a deal. And Microsoft's big enough to do that, right? Plex and Kodi, they're not.
Right. Well, what I've read from Microsoft is that there's not enough of an audience to be worth it at this point.
Not true, obviously. I think it's mostly they just don't want to spend the energy, right? They don't want to have to make these side deals with all these companies. And this is why people pirate, by the way. I hope right. that the TV and the movie industry understand that you get the exact opposite impact. What you want is to eliminate piracy, right? So you copy protect stuff. What you do, in effect, is teach people how to pirate. Because if you weren't such an honest fellow, Tyler, the simple thing to do would be download all those shows you want. And unprotected, uncopy protected, and watch them at your leisure.
Right.
Because then you wouldn't have this problem. Copy protection only gets in the way of honest users because pirates just strip it out. So I don't know exactly what the solution is. Silicon Dust apparently has a Kickstarter for their home run. Maybe the home run will do it. TiVo does do it. Might be worth going out and just getting a TiVo.
Right, I was trying to avoid new hardware if at all.
I understand it's, but you know the writing was on the wall. They stopped updating Windows Media Center six years ago, and we've known. I mean, you know, that didn't come with Windows 8, but they did let you download it, and they've been hinting around for long enough.
I was hoping for upgrade for Windows 10. They said no, we're just going to drop it.
They're just dropping it. Yeah. I'm glad they said that. I'm glad they made it clear. Microsoft tends not to do things like that. They tend to let you guess. They were never very clear with Windows 8 about what the future of Windows Media Center would be. Finally, they've said, no, we're not going to do it. So now you have at least a chance to figure it out. It's working now, right?
It works, yeah. It works on my Windows 8.1 system.
So my strong suggestion is don't upgrade that system.
I've been waiting, you know, for late July to upgrade, but this is the one thing that's kind of, you know, getting in the way.
I know. Well, I think you may not want to upgrade your home theater PC.
Yeah, I might end up just running it on a separate system on a laptop and just connect that with HDMI to the TV or something.
It's frustrating, and I'm sympathetic. And I don't blame Microsoft at all. I blame the companies that make the content that insist on copy protection. And I know many of them listen to this show because we're on in Los Angeles, and they're listening. And guys, understand, this is a perfect example. Listen to Tyler. He doesn't want to pirate your content. He pays for it. He wants to continue to pay for it. He wants to be able to record it so he can watch it like a DVR. He doesn't want to use the cable company's DVR. And you're basically saying to him, sorry, Tyler, you have to pirate it. That's not the right message, is it? That is not the right message. Make this work. Copy protection is a terrible idea. The game industry learned it. The music industry learned it. But for some reason, television and movie industry still doesn't get it. It does not work. So, Tyler, don't upgrade. That's the best answer at this point. And if you don't want to get new hardware, do not upgrade. Stay with Windows 8. And, you know, I wonder if Microsoft might even down the road, what could they do? I mean, it doesn't require any connection to Microsoft, does it? No.
Media Center?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go to a Microsoft server. If you did, I would say that will be discontinued, too, at some point. Stick with Windows 8.1, and we'll keep looking for a solution. I think TiVo's a good one. I love my TiVo. And there are other companies that Channel Master, Home Run, that are trying to do this kind of thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We were just talking, Dick and I, about Manhattan Hedge. Oh, let me introduce Dick. Dick DiBartolo is here. He's Mad Magazine's maddest writer.
What? He's here?
He's in the studio. Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, wow.
He's Mad Magazine's great something writer. Maddest writer.
Yeah.
He is the Gizwiz on this show. He brings his gadgets and shows us his gadgets and this hysterical stuff. But many people don't know this. He is a lifelong New Yorker. He's actually never left the island of Manhattan ever.
Well, not quite.
Where have you been?
Well, my entire life movement was across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, that was it. Okay, you started in
20
Brooklyn.
20 years in Brooklyn.
Okay, good.
And the rest here.
He was founded in Brooklyn, but then moved the enterprise to Disneyland in Manhattan, and ever since hasn't left the island.
That is correct.
Actually, you get in a boat and you go around the island, but you never...
Yes. I never lose sight of it.
That's...
As long as I can see Manhattan from where I am, I'm comfortable.
So you're going out tonight to do Manhattan Henge.
Yep. It's the four times a year when the sun aligns with the cross streets in Manhattan. And tonight it's going to line up with the Upper West Side cross streets. So
wow. Do you think when Sir Eldridge Manhattan designed the city, he knew that and he made it that way?
I think so. Yeah. There's no other reason why the streets go this way.
I mean, it's perfect.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Also, in before air conditioning, it was designed so that all the people on the east and west side would open their windows for cross ventilation.
Perfect. Just goes right through.
Right through the island.
Oh, that's great. Now, New Jersey doesn't like it too much.
No,
because
all the exhaust there.
But they send stuff back, so it's fair.
A lot of stuff.
I never even heard of Manhattan Henge. This is the first I've heard of it.
Dennis knew about it. I learned about it about 2 days ago, and Dennis said, "Wow, we have to go out."
I'm not so weird then. I mean, here you are. You spent your whole life.
No,
in
you are weird, but this just doesn't add to it.
Manhattan Henge. You know, this happens, I think probably, no one would know about this if it weren't for social media. Right?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Petaluma Henge?
There's no Petaluma. There might be, but nobody's got, if there's not a hashtag, does it exist? I think not.
No.
What did you bring us this week?
Well, you know what? The company you like to putter around with tools, so I know you know the company Leatherman, right?
Yes, I do, Dick.
Okay. No, the other Leatherman.
Oh, that one. Yes.
That one.
There's no chaps with this one. Okay.
No chaps. Well, you can if you want. Yeah. But
no, I love you know what really put a damper on my Leatherman love is the TSA. You cannot bring these things on an airplane. So I have to be careful because I don't want to, accidentally lose my Leatherman.
All right. Well, now they have something new that you don't have. And in the ad, they show a guy going on a plane with it.
You can, okay? You can take it on a plane?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's a totally different tool. It's called the Leatherman Tread.
I think I know where you're going with this.
This is 25 tools on a bracelet. And I saw it at the Hollywood show. I might add a very manly bracelet.
Well, some women might want to wear this. I don't know.
Yeah, they might. They might. And you, there are hex wrenches and box wrenches, a bottle opener. If you're a scuba diver, there's an air tank wrench. And it's totally wearable. And you take it off and you fold it to the tool you want. And then the rest of the bracelet is kind of the handle of the... we see a guy going aboard an aircraft.
Yeah, there he is, getting on a plane. There's a guy showing PowerPoint presentations. It's for work or play. But really, how good a tool could it be?
Well, you know, just... If it were some crazy company, I would think they were nuts.
It's
true. But just knowing Leatherman, I'm thinking, first of all, it's very expensive. Do you know any idea what the price is?
$100? How much?
$150.
That's not, you know, but people spending $17,000 for wristwatch, $150 sounds like nothing.
Right. And if you want it with the diamond black finish, it's $200. Oh,
look, watch is optional.
The watch is coming in September. A lot of the links are removable, so you can customize it. You can leave home tools you think you'll never use. And I believe they're doing that for when the watch comes along. You'll take out the five tools you'll never use and then put the watch
there. Right, because, yeah, otherwise, so it, yeah.
It's a modular system. I mean, it's very well engineered. It's pretty tricky looking. And if you want to start a conversation, this is very unique thing.
What are you wearing?
What, the Apple Watch? Wait, I'll fix your Apple Watch.
They call it the Tread. They should call it the Leatherman MacGyver.
Oh, that would be
good. Yeah. Maybe they couldn't get the licensing for that.
That's probably right.
That is really interesting. And $150, is it in stores
the
now?
Silver version? No. Coming in August, and the watch version they said will be in the fall. They didn't have a price on the watch version.
$150
in silver.
When you saw it, did they disassemble it and show you how the tool is?
No, but the guy folded it up for me and showed me how you would use it as a tool. And I thought that was impressive as opposed to trying to use one little link. When you fold the whole thing together with the tool you want at the bottom,
it just works.
The rest of the bracelet is a handle for it, so it's pretty neat.
29 different tools, including a SIM card remover for your phone. I would just take off all the links and just put that on.
There you go.
Fall right
there
off.
You go. There you go.
You have to have enough links to actually stay on your
to wear. Yeah. Yes, you do. You have to do that.
There isn't. There's Gerber and there's Leatherman. It's like two different camps. Like your Mac or PC. So there's some people like their Gerber tool. Some people like their Leatherman tool.
Yeah, and you know Leatherman tools just in general, like those multi tools. They're like $80 and $90.
Oh yeah, yeah. So no, that's why I'm actually kind of surprised. That does not seem so expensive.
Yeah.
Is it comfortable? Did you try it on? It feels like it would...
You know, I didn't try it. I just said to the guy, he was showing me how to use the tools, and I just said, can I feel it for weight? And it's certainly no more than a watch, even though it's stainless
steel.
You'd
think it might be heavy. I want it to be heavy.
Yeah,
I want to have to bear...
You know, you could get the 25-pound weight link.
That's what I need. One arm would be so buff.
Yeah, the fitness link you want.
You'd look like Popeye on your left arm, and the right arm would just be a little skinny old thing.
You know, what a defense device this would be. Yeah, stop bullets. Damn. Whoa,
brr, brr. It's like
take
Wonder
that.
Woman's bracelet.
Take that.
You'll find Dick at gizwiz.biz. That's his website. When you get there, by the way, play the What the Heck Is It contest, because that's a lot of fun. A chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. The stuff he mentions on this show, you just follow the Gizwiz and the Tech Guy. But you do a lot of other shows. I know you just did a new show, which is great. A new, was it a podcast?
Yeah, Radio show. The podcast I'm doing a radio. I'm doing. Oh no, that was WGN. They were celebrating
Chicago.
30 years.
Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago. And this guy I've been on many times. Nick DiGilio.
That's it. That's
what it was. Yeah, it was great. It was because he was saying how nervous he was the first time I was a guest because this is like his third week in radio, and I'm thinking, you're nervous about me? What are you kidding?
No.
And then I do a show with Chad.
And now, if you want to watch the Giz Whiz, you can. Do that every week at patreon.com/gizwiz or gizwiz.tv. In fact, go there right now.
You have an incredible memory.
No, I have it on a blue card here. I'm like Regis. Okay. Remember when you used to do Live with Regis and Kathy Lee?
Yes.
Did he put your name on a card on top of the camera just so he'd remember your name? Or was it just me?
He might have been just you. Well, you know, I had been on monthly for 5 years.
I think it was just me.
Know, if he didn't know by then.
I think it was just me. Right. Thank you, Dickie D.
Regis impressed me once. I was walking into an event, and he was at the podium. And he just, Dick D. Martolo just walked in. I thought, whoa.
Wow. There was no card or anything?
No.
Wow.
No.
Well, my claim to fame is once when I walked in the door, Kelly Ripa said, my immortal love. And I thought, she must mistake me for someone else.
Wow.
But that was it. Thank you so much, Dickie D. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Hang on. We're going to keep taking calls if you want at 8888-ASK-LEO. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.